Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Did you know that God loves you as much as he does Jesus? Well, it's the truth, because Jesus said so in John 17:23. The Bible also says there's nothing that can separate you from God's love. Today, Kenneth Copeland explains that guilt and sin consciousness are fear-based thoughts designed to rob you from receiving God's love. Discover how to experience restoration with your Heavenly Father and learn to extend the same forgiveness God shows you to others and live free from fear and condemnation today.
At the beginning of the week, we began building a study outline entitled Seven Steps to Never Being Afraid Again of Anything. Praise God. The process of coming to the place where there's no fear here and you can boldly announce to the devil, praise God, you don't have anything in me. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've come to the revelation and realization that fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And it's that contaminated faith that we're dealing with. Now, the first step, you remember, was come to the absolute understanding that we are already delivered from fear. We got delivered from fear when Jesus went to the cross. He bore our fear of death just the same as he bore sin, sickness, demons, disease, griefs and sorrows, weaknesses and pains and so forth. They were laid upon him and he bore them. Romans 8:15 and Hebrews 2:14-15 was our scripture on that step. The second step was resist the spirit of fear, knowing that fear is not okay. It is sin, because it is the violation and breaking, willful breaking of a commandment, because God commanded over 110 times in his word to fear not. Revelation 21:8. Joshua 1:9, 1 John 3, 2 through the 4th verses were scriptures that we used there. Number three, which is where we were when we closed yesterday, faith is, quote, filtered, end quote, or decontaminated would be a good way to use it since that statement we made earlier. Faith is filtered or decontaminated through love. Let's go now to the next step. Step number four is to purposefully, by decision, make a decision to receive the love of God. The 17th chapter of John, let's look at that again. Verse 23, Jesus prayed, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know. So this is something that the world would understand if we would walk in this in its fullness, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as much as you love me. Now, you're going to have to make the decision. This is a quality decision. A quality decision is a decision from which there is no retreat and about which there's no more argument. Quality decision. I make a quality decision that I don't care how I feel about it. I don't care how it looks. God loves me as much as he does Jesus. Now, let me throw something at you. Let me throw a problem into this. You come to that 26th verse and it says that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them. Let me throw this problem at you. You miss it. You foul up. You did or said something that is just, you just feel terrible about. Wish you hadn't have done it. You know good and well you sinned when you did it. And now here you're under conviction over it and you just, oh, you're feeling terrible. Oh, you're feeling terrible. I got into this one time back, oh, years and years ago. I was preaching a meeting and I just messed up. And so I was just eating a hole in me. And so I confessed it before the Lord and I repented of it before the Lord early that afternoon. But by about 4:35 o'clock, somewhere along in there, that afternoon, I got to preach over there that night. And I just was feeling terrible. And I said, Lord, I can't go over there tonight. I just can't do this. You're just going to have to get you somebody else. I'm not going to go over there. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm not going over there. He said, why? I said, why? You know why as well as I do. I'm not going over there and stand up behind that holy desk and stick up my finger and said, thus saith the Lord. I said, you got to get somebody else. I ain't going. He said, what'd you do? I said, oh, God. What do you mean, what'd I do? Boy, he got on me. He said, what you're doing now is as big a sin as what you did earlier. He said, you just called me a liar. I said, Lord, I wouldn't do such a thing. He said, didn't you open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2? I said, yes. Didn't you read before me that I'm faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you of all righteousness when you confess it? I said, yeah, I did, yeah. He said, now here you'd come and telling me and you're still burdened down with feelings of guilt and so forth. Now, if you have made the quality decision that God loves me as much as he does Jesus. He loves me with the same love that he loved Jesus with, and that same love has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, then I have to know he loves me at this moment of test and trial. I have to know, and I have to believe it, whether I feel like it or not. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. See, yeah, but Brother Copeland, Jesus didn't sin. But now, wait a minute. He bore your sin. Amen. So don't come at me with that. That old dog won't hunt. Amen. What's going on here? Sin consciousness. You become aware and conscious of that sin. Well, of course, it's just eating a hole in you. I mean, you repented over the thing and you're sorry of it and you won't out of the thing. It's just tearing you apart. Now, when you confess that sin, don't ever run from God when you sin. My goodness sake, that's what the Satan will try to get you to do. And if you have a religious fear of God, oh, man, I'm telling you what, you'll run from. The devil tell you, well, you done smoked 2 cigarettes. You might as well smoke the whole carton. God don't care nothing about you anyway. Might as well go on, get your dope out, get your pipe out, and all the rest of it. Now, that's stupid. But to somebody that's under hard, sinful, satanic pressure, you know that's a form of lust and persecution and affliction. That's all of those things mean intensified pressure. He's pushing you, trying to kill you. Pushing you away from God. Don't ever run from God. Run to him. Amen. When you don't feel his presence is when you are covenant committed to believe he's there. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you even to the end of the world. I love you as much as I love Jesus. Now it's time for you to believe that. This is when you need to put it into operation. Now, the feelings of guilt, once you have confessed that sin, you believe you receive your cleansing. You believe you receive your forgiveness. Believe you receive that. Because the Word said Jesus is righteous to do it. It's a righteous thing for Him to do. So for Him not to do that would be an unrighteous thing once you confess it. Isn't that right? Yeah. Sure it is. But now, I believe I receive it, but my flesh ain't found out about it. My soul hadn't found out about it. And the devil just beating the way out of you, you know, trying to push you into it further. What are you dealing with here? You have been forgiven of the sin. You have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. Now you're just dealing with symptoms. Stand up against those symptoms. I'm not moved by what I feel. I move only by what God said. And I have to remember here, by faith in covenant, I suggest you do it over communion. I have received the love of my Father, and nothing will ever come between us on that again. I don't care how tough it gets. I don't care how ugly I get and how much I foul up and mess up and all that. You can't do anything cause Him not to love you. Right. Why? Because He said He would, and He can't lie. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, let me give you another element of that. This will help you. Two things here. One, this is, well, let me go at it from this way. You can't break this covenant. The covenant is between the Almighty God, who is love, and our Father, and His Son, Jesus, the resurrected Lord of glory. Now, here is the Almighty, untouchable, sinless, righteous God. And here is an immortal, resurrected man. Death can touch neither of them. So this covenant doesn't have a curse on it. Neither one of them can break it, or would break it if they could. Amen. What do you and I have? You and I are in covenant with God, but we're in Jesus' covenant with Him. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have His deal with God. We have His righteousness with God. We have His love with God. We have His name. We have His everything. And eventually, here before very many days go by, we'll get a glorified body just like Him. We'll be immortal, and death will never be able to touch us again. Amen. But as it is now, we're protected from it. See? We can't break the covenant. We can break our fellowship with it. See what I mean? Through sin, doubt, and unbelief, fear, and all that. We can separate ourselves from the fellowship of it, but we can't separate ourselves from the love of God. You can't break the covenant. Part of the covenant says all you have to do is confess the sin, and He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yes. That's part of, that's just as much a part of the covenant as any of the rest of it. So you didn't break the covenant. You just broke your fellowship with your Father. So get back in fellowship with Him, knowing He loves you just as much as He does Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, let's get over into this area. It's the same thing, but we change the perspective of it from God to us and to us to other people. And here again, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but there's a part of this I want to touch on here, and that's the area of symptoms. Forgiveness is an act of the will. It is not an act of feelings. If you wait till you feel like forgiving somebody, all they have to do is call you and be a little ugly to you again, you'll be another 10 years. You might never do it. But forgiveness is, the act of forgiveness is an act of obedience to the commandment of the church. We're commanded to forgive one another. You remember Jesus said through the Holy Ghost, through the Apostle Paul, he said, forgiving one another, being tender-hearted towards one another. Why? For Christ's sake, for the sake of the anointing. The anointing means everything. Amen. You remember when they came to Jesus after John the Baptist had been beheaded, and they said, we want to ask you if you are the one, or in other words, are you the Christ? He answered them with his own message. Remember, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and so forth. And so forth. He said, the way Jesus answered them, they said, are you the anointed one, or are we supposed to wait and look for somebody else? He said, look, the blind see, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now listen, you got your antenna run up? Listen carefully. He said, they were not offended in me. He was just as anointed when he preached in Nazareth as he was when he preached in Capernaum. But in Nazareth there, he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Why? They got offended in him. They got mad at him. They got offended. They took him out behind the church, going to kick him off that cliff. See what happened? The scripture didn't say he wouldn't heal. It said he couldn't. In fact, to just prove to you God's will in the thing, he laid his hands on people knowing they weren't going to get anything when he's down there in Nazareth, didn't he? Said he saved, he laid his hands on a few people with minor ailments. That's how much Jesus wanted them healed. He laid hands on them knowing they ain't going to get anything. Are you getting it? Now, when you forgive as an act of your will in obedience, in the name of Jesus, I forgive so-and-so. I am not a condemner. Jesus said, pray for those that despitefully use and persecute you, that their spirit be saved on the day of the Lord. Pray for them. I pray for them every day. I have a lot of good opportunities, you know. People start writing ugly books about you and that kind of thing, carrying signs out in front of your meeting, calling you a cult. Copeland don't believe in the blood. They know what I believe. They ain't got a clue what I believe. Well, you get a lot of opportunities, you know. I forgive them. They have nothing to do about the way I feel about it. I forgive them as an act of my will. I will to be obedient to the commandment that Jesus gave. As an act of obedience, I forgive brother so-and-so. I forgive sister so-and-so. In Jesus' name, Lord, I exercise the love that has been put in me by the Holy Ghost with which you love Jesus. I exercise that love. You loved me when I was yet a sinner. You loved me when I was ungodly. You died for me and gave yourself for me when I was absolutely worthless, and you loved me anyway. And with that same love, I love them. And so I begin to think of them with faith and love thoughts and begin to absorb all that ugly thinking. Push that out of there. Squeeze that out of my thinking. Just keep hanging on to that thought and cast down all imaginations that surround it. And I'm going along. Everything's going pretty good here. It's been a couple of weeks. I've forgot I prayed the thing now. And I'm going along. And all of a sudden, while I'm walking down the street here, here comes brother so-and-so walking right out of the store, and here he stands right in front of me. And the first feeling and reaction, the first natural soulish reaction suddenly that I have is, I'm gonna pull him right here. There, God, talk about my family like that. And he ducks and runs across the other side of the street. Now I'm just fuming. I walk about four or five steps, and I come under conviction. And I thought, oh, I thought I forgave that brother, dear Lord. There must be something wrong with me. I thought I forgave. Now you're in torment, and you're exercising fear. So what do you do here? No, it's not a matter that you thought you forgave and didn't, because you did as an act of your will. Now, don't dump that in favor of your flesh. It's just symptoms of unforgiveness. God supernaturally forgets. That don't mean he kind of sweeps it under the rug. That means it's not in his remembrance anymore. But then the Bible tells us to forgive even as he forgave us. So that means that we are supernaturally capable of supernatural forgetfulness, just the same as he is, but you have to exercise it by faith. And you say, no, in the name of Jesus, I choose to forget that right now. I drive that out of my consciousness. I receive the cleansing of it. Far as I'm concerned, they're forgiven and never committed it. I don't dig it up anymore. Every time it tries to resurrect, put it right back down. It won't be long until you can see that person and it never occurred to you again. Why? Because it's been supernaturally cleansed, absorbed out of your consciousness. Are you listening to me now? I rebuke the symptoms of that. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. And I'm not a condemner. I'm a forgiver. Glory to God. I'm filled with the love of God. What's happening here? Let me describe the design of this. Receive the love now. That God loves you as much as he does Jesus. And receive the fact that that love is inside you. It's there. Become aware of the fact that it is there. But you have to believe it first by faith. We have faith that it is there with no evidence other than the Word of God. Now, forgive, Jesus said in Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your heavenly Father may forgive you your trespasses. But if you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of your trespasses. It's not because he's trying to hold it against you. It's because he can't get through to you. Can't get his hands on you. See, these things are not just two and three dimensional. They are three and four dimensional. You deal with the third dimension when you get in an airplane and leave the ground. Then you become three dimensional. You have roll around three axis instead of just two. But when you get in the spirit, you step over into the fourth dimension. Now, when you resist forgiving, remember, you're over in the area now of omnipotence, fourth dimension. You can't resist forgiving on this level without resisting forgiveness on this level. You getting that? But when I act on the Word of God and I forgive as an act of my will by faith and obedience in His command, and I exercise the love inside me that God loved Jesus with, and I do it by faith and not by feeling, I do it as an act of obedience, I forgive you. I forgive that person. Glory to God. I just opened up the roof and God's forgiveness came down in me.
You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV broadcast study notes today at kcm.org.uk/notes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org.uk/notes.
Imagine a life untouched by fear. What could you accomplish if you weren't afraid? How far could your faith in God take you? Learn how you can live without fear with 7 Steps to Walking Fear-Free, an audio teaching by Kenneth Copeland. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated, but Jesus already delivered you from the spirit of fear at the cross. When he defeated death, he destroyed the root of fear and all of the curse that is attached to it. Fear of lack, sickness, disappointment, death doesn't have a hold on you anymore. Decontaminate your faith by renewing your mind to the Word of God. Even in the midst of pressure and tribulation, you can be of good cheer. Believe and receive the love of God. Draw near to Him, and fear has to flee. It's time to live a life of love and joy and truly walk in freedom from all fear. Discover the fearless life that Jesus made possible for you. Request your copy of 7 Steps to Walking Fear-Free, an audio teaching by Kenneth Copeland. A fear-free life is your covenant right. Go to kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01225-787-310. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today.
When you were born again, God gave you the same ability to love just as He does. One way you express God's love is by showing forgiveness to others. Forgiveness shows that you are choosing to trust God with a hurtful situation. You're allowing Him to work on your behalf to manifest His perfect will in that situation instead of struggling with it in your own strength. One area we can exercise forgiveness in is where our nation is concerned. Today in the United States, we remember the attack that occurred on September 11, 2001. On that day, many brave men and women gave their lives to help thousands of innocent people that were threatened by the acts of terrorism that day. We're thankful to them for saving so many lives. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." We have a promise that if we, His people, will humble ourselves and pray, that He will forgive the sin and heal our land. On this Remembrance Day, let's go before the Lord on behalf of our nation and pray over the families that were affected on September 11, 2001. We praise Your name, Lord Jesus. You are the Anointed One, for it is good to give praises to You. We thank You for the awakening of this nation, for it's Your will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This covenant was established by people who loved You, and You will never forget it. We also lift up the families affected by 9/11 as You heal their broken hearts and bind up their wounds as only You can. Amen. Now, before we go, if you'd like someone to pray with you, KCM has a prayer line you can call. Our licensed prayer ministers are filled with God's love and ready to pray God's word in faith over your situation. Give them a call and let them help you receive what God has promised you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.uk.